Get connected with Take Two Radio Music on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio Music. Or for email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit TakeTwoRadioMusic.com.
And good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Take Two Radio Music. This is Pam, your host. And I know, like I've said before, I should be saying DJ since it's a music show, but with having to do my other shows, I always say host, and I've gotten into that habit. And it just sounds funny to me, DJ Pam, and I apologize to any other DJ Pams that are out there in the world, but it just sounds funny for me to say that. So, yeah, we'll stick with host, and you guys know what I mean, and I play the music, and I interview the bands, and that's all that matters. So, and speaking of that, today I'll be chatting to the indie rock band from the UK, and let me say this, too, because it's hard to say it without the. The name of the band is Richmond Band, but I'll be speaking to the members of the Richmond Band because I had somebody point out to me that it's not the Richmond Band, it's Richmond Band. But you can't say it without putting the "the" in front of it. Do you know what I mean? Yes, today's going to be a crazy show. Anyways, joining me from the band will be Paul, Peter, and Rob. And I do believe that I have them live now. Can you guys hear me? Hello?
Can you hear us okay?
Ah, there you are. Yes.
Hey.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm crazy. Can you tell by my intro?
Yes,
it was very good. But you pronounced Richmond Band much better than the Richmond Band, where we like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so hard to say that, though. You can't, because it sounds like you're missing, a word when you're saying, today I'm going to be speaking to Richmond Band. Kind of sounds funny. But if you say today I'll be speaking to the Richmond Band, then that sounds better.
That's because you speak so well. Yeah, you speak obviously better than we do.
You guys had to make it hard for me. You know, I try to speak proper English when I can, but, you know, you just made it hard for me. So I've been fighting my inner self.
Yeah, don't mention the English thing. We've got a Scotsman here.
Yeah.
He feels very left out.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I don't speak Scottish.
Oh, go on, Pam.
Pam, it's going to be murder.
We insist that you give us a little bit of a Scottish accent to carry on.
Right? Oh, my gosh, no way. Well, I cannot do accents to save my life. I have a good friend that lives in North Carolina, so she has a very strong southern accent. And every time I try to, you know, pull that accent out on her because I make fun of her every once in a while with the way she'll say something, she's like, you're not even close. So I totally give up on accents. I'll just listen to them. Don't ask me to say them because you'll just be laughing from today till tomorrow.
Well, we have a lot of people in Scotland listening, mm-hmm. and I think they'd feel offended if you didn't at least try it. We were like, Rob's going to say something, and we'd like you to repeat it. Come on, please, for us.
It's going to be murder.
It's going to be what?
It's going to be murder.
It's going to be mugged us?
Brilliant.
I don't even know what that means. Did I just swear in Scottish or something?
Yes, you did. Yeah. Murder. It's going to be murder, but it's
going to be murder. Oh, it's going to be murder. Okay. I get it. See, that's why I have a problem. Although I am totally in love with accents, and especially out there by the UK, I have a problem sometimes speaking to somebody from there, depending on how rich their accent is. And, you know, Mel, of course, my good friend Mel from Aspire Music Management, and she has managing, you know, bands from out there. I always have to ask her, am I going to be able to understand them?
I think you'll be okay. We translate for Rob all the time.
Yeah.
It'd be good.
Okay, well, good. And I'm glad I'm not the only one. So how are you guys doing tonight?
Yeah, we're good. We're really excited. And, we're really pleased to be on your show. And we'd like to say hello to Mel as well. Just say thank you very much for everything she's done so far.
Yeah, she's a good girl. She does her work very well. I have to say that.
I'm not so sure she's always a good girl, but, yeah, she's definitely definitely good at helping
out. Ooh. You know something about Mel that I don't, and I know her, what, 8 years now? Mm-hmm. Maybe some secrets will be spilling on the show, so.
Okay.
Well, let's go ahead and get started. I mean, I read, Paul, that you come from a very musical family, so do you think that if you hadn't been surrounded by music growing up that you would still have wanted to be in a band?
That's a good question. I do, because my closest friends all crazy into music, and I'd say Bon Jovi, Aerosmith, Meatloaf, Guns N' Roses, kind of that ilk. So we all just drove a lot and listened to a lot of music, and I think I would have always been into it because of them primarily, but it did help with my parents playing and singing, and my sister being an extremely good singer as well and writer. So yeah, I think I still would have been in it. Definitely.
Did you have any interest in, you know, playing a musical instrument at that time, or did you start that later?
I started it later. Actually, my first musical instrument was a mouth organ. And
harmonica.
Sorry, harmonica.
Still learning
now. I used to play songs and used to do mouth organ solos to, like, just randomly put them in places that made them sound terrible. But just that's the only.
That's if you had the right mouth organ.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Key.
But it had to be. I only had one mouth organ, so it had to be the songs with the right key. But. Yeah, no, that was my first interest. But my dad used to play guitar a lot around the house when I was young, so that was an interest as well. But, Peter, excellent guitarist, and Rob kind of made me a bit lazy. But, I think singing was my forte, so it's best to stick with that, really.
Yeah, he's been nice about that's your forte. The guitar sings, he's a good songwriter on the guitar, as a lead guy.
You guys got together rather young, so did you start out doing original music, or did you do cover songs? How did you start?
We were pretty, you know, we met in school, we kind of hated each other for like a week, and then we loved each other for the rest of our lives, basically. You know, it was, as soon as we bonded, it was all based around music and just, you know, growing up that way, and kind of all the songs and bands we listened to, from Brucey to Bon Jovi, we kind of lived those songs. So, you know, as soon as we could play a couple of chords, a bit like Nirvana, we started writing our own songs. They may not have been very good, and they're about 10 minutes long, but
we'd always gig with doing probably one cover. Just one, really. Whenever we'd always just throw in one. We were primarily just about, literally, we're going to do our stuff. We've done Britney Spears before. Sorry, we've covered Britney Spears before. Neil Young, Lars Set. So we've those kinds of music. We
do it on tape, one version of them, bit, wouldn't we?
Yes, yeah. But
we picked it up. We were about writing straight away.
We were writing songs before we could play.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I was writing tons of lyrics, and I've still got loads of just, and then adding melodies to them. And yeah, I mean, I used to love buying albums, and before putting them on, reading the lyrics and trying to work out what the melody line is going to be before I actually put it on, showing you how sad I was when I was growing up. I was quite fun as well at times.
Formats of songs and intro, the verse, the chorus, and figure out, and then you kind of, I want to write stuff like that. That's what I used to do. Kind of missed the whole lyric thing, but
I just got albums for the guitar.
Rob, as long as he's cranked up loud, it doesn't really matter what the lyrics say.
Well, how do you write a song without playing an instrument? I always wondered about that. I mean, do you just kind of like write a poetry type or poem type, you know, song, and then you find somebody that plays the instrument and you put it all together?
Sometimes you would, Paul, would come up with lyrics, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. I mean, there's one song, I think you might actually play it tonight, called Needle. That was, I wrote it at a desk when I was at work, and that was the lyrics, the vibe of it, and basically the melody as well. So you'd have a feeling, and the feeling would translate into a rhythm, and that rhythm would then add, you'd add lyrics to that, so the emotion would go with the rhythm. And then I got round to Rob's, and he was just playing around with the acoustic and said, I'll come up with this really cool little lick and little thing. And literally, he just played what he played and was working, and I sung what I'd written that day, and it went. And within 5 minutes, it was written. And as we've done it quite a lot.
Yeah,
we did it a lot.
We used to fall asleep writing, didn't we?
Yeah, but Pete and Rob would be hard at it, working away on the guitars and stuff, and then I'd hear one little lick of what Rob or Pete does, and then just take myself off into the corner.
You remember just playing that riff, and you went, oh,
yeah.
The song came out just that little chord.
Yeah, it's really just a little vibe you get, and then from the vibe it grows.
And occasionally, right, before mobile phones, he used to call my house and be, listen, record this somehow.
Yeah.
And he didn't realise I was speaking to my mum.
Yeah.
Paul, stop that. Why are you singing to me? My mum's Greek, not Scottish, by the way.
Pete's accents are nearly as bad as yours, Dan.
You do that quite a bit. You know, I've got these lyrics. Yeah. Can you write something? Actually, I remember once you called me up, and I'm playing guitar. He's on the phone. He's on the phone singing, and I'm playing guitar on the other end of the line, and we've got this phone, and we're trying to write this song. I can't even remember which one it was.
Yeah.
I think it might have been Fallen Angels, I can't remember. But, and that's wherever it took us.
Are you, a version is saved.
Yeah.
Well, I used to hide under the desk at work to actually get a rhythm, to get this a thing, and used to, can't even remember that now. I used to get under the desk at work and then call Pete. I'm like, Pete, I got this idea for a song.
Oh my gosh, under the desk at work, so you were hiding from your boss while you were doing that?
Yeah, just so my colleagues didn't think.
Did you ever get busted?
Yes, yeah, a lot. They'd be like, what are you doing? Oh, you're singing. All right, singing to yourself under the desk again. Okay.
I bet they thought that was rather normal, huh?
Yeah. After a while, it did become that.
I'm sure. Now, also, I read, of course, that you guys, you know, went to a lot of concerts, but that Paul and Peter went to Bon Jovi concerts wearing glittery wigs, and I couldn't help but burst out laughing. I can just picture that in my head. But what in the world gave you that idea? I mean, weren't you, like, supposed to be at a Twisted Sister concert instead of Bon Jovi?
Well, you know, the funny thing, right, with that concert, his one was gold and mine was silver. And we had school the next day. And because we sweated so much, all the gold stained his forehead. So he had to come into school with a gold forehead.
Oh, my gosh.
Streams of sweat of gold down my face and trying to explain it one way. I don't know why we thought that everyone would have them there, and we were the only two.
Yeah.
So we wanted to find decent wigs, but ended up with glitter. But it was we went to so many of those concerts. Were brilliant, fantastic.
I think one of them we were a bit bad. We bunked off of school. We went to Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
I remember when we were really young at Wembley.
Yeah.
But that was an experience.
Yeah.
But hey, stay in school, really.
Oh, <God. laughs> This is an advert from your local education services.
Axel never turned up, did he?
I have a feeling that you guys were brought into the principal's office quite often.
Oh, I was trying to go over that, actually.
He kind of had this way of talking his way out of it. I don't know how it worked.
Yeah.
Probably blame the rest of us. That's why we stayed behind for the
You're so bad, Paul.
So, Pam, you have a lovely voice. How long have you been doing radio for?
About 4 years now, I believe.
4 years. Fantastic. It's just really good. We're doing a great show. And I think it's about to... We're going to play a song soon?
Sure. I was going to wait a little bit later into this after a few more questions.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let me go ahead and play Breathe right now for our listeners, and then you can tell us about that song.
Oh, lovely. Thank you.
Okay, hold on.
As we both turn out the lights, when inside we feel like crying, but instead we choose to fight. I can't breathe. Oh baby, can't you see? There's nothing left for me.
From you guys, and for our listeners, that'll be one of the songs from your upcoming album that'll be out next year. So tell us about the song, tell us about the album called Fallen Angels as well.
Okay, who wants to
go for it?
Well, about that particular song, first of all, Breathe, we wrote, it was quite a few years ago now.
That was a loft job.
Yeah, I remember that. It was in Rob's loft.
Rob's famous loft. A lot of writing got done there.
Yeah, that was where a lot of
drunken
songs.
Nights. lots of wine and beer.
I remember the moment that we wrote that because Rob had a really good riff and he was playing around with it, and then we just started doing the verse, and then you had to go. I think you had to go to the toilet, didn't you? You had to do something, and we couldn't get the chorus. And he said, "I'll be back in a minute." And literally, he went downstairs, and then that chorus came up. And then, as you came upstairs, you were like, "That's it." Mm. So, sort of, you needed a little break, that little moment. And then, when he was in the loo,
toilet break.
When he was in the toilet, literally, I come up with that.
Oh no!
That's the one.
That's what you
Well, yeah, I'm sure you're not the only guys to write a song on a toilet, but I don't know of any personally.
I, Oh, that's where I song, actually. I do remember that.
Golden Brown.
Actually, I do remember writing a song on the toilet called Why Did It Happen? I do, seriously.
What were you doing in the toilet?
He was on the phone too. Problem.
You're making it worse. Pete was in my garage with... Why did it happen? Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember the tune.
Yeah. So there's quite a few.
Yeah.
How many songs are going to be on the album?
Well, when we release it, we're contemplating at the moment. We're stuck for which songs to put on there. So many, haven't we?
A few too many, and there's a couple that we're thinking we don't know which one of the two to go with, and you know, maybe I don't know.
What version is here? Maybe the 200.
Yeah. Maybe we just need a bit of help from people to listen to it and say,
yeah,
you know, which one of these two should we put on the album? We don't know what to do with a couple of them. We're really happy with it, but it's just those finishing touches until we feel like.
If we get stuck on a couple. Would it be rude to ask you if you wouldn't mind doing a kind of like a call-in thing where you could get people who listen to it to choose?
Yeah, I mean, I could probably do that. I do Music Mondays, and I play different songs from the indie bands around the world for an hour. You know, maybe I can do that and see if people call in. The only problem is I do it at 2:00 in the afternoon Central Time, and so a lot of people listen to the show after they get off work.
Right.
So if anybody were to call in, it would probably be people from the UK and Europe, you know, that are on a later time zone. So, but, you know, I could try it. That's all I can do.
Or maybe we'll just get your opinion, because we have about 10 songs that we want to release on the album at the moment, but we've got so many more written and recorded. So we're just trying to make it blend so it goes nicely, because you don't want too many of the same vibe. But you, at the same time, you know, we want our best stuff on there. So
we've also got favourites as well.
Yeah.
So instead of us arguing, we'll let someone else decide.
What's your favourite, Pete?
Well, you know what? There's one. Remington sticks out, and Fallen Angels are mine too. But also, you know, you convinced me of this because you used to harp on about it. Stand Up.
Yeah, Stand Up.
That's a big.
You fell asleep in the reading that member.
Yeah, that's
a member that well. Yeah. And we done it in a little four track. It was so ancient.
Yeah.
Member.
Yeah. Go on, you know, tell the story.
You can see the problem where we start listing all 10, and then we can't decide.
We done this version of. Stand Up, and remember you done a vocal on it in a little cassette.
Yeah.
And remember you committed to it again, we couldn't get that right. Remember we spent days and days and days trying to get the vocal the way you done it on this little four track, you know?
Yeah, it was. I was so knackered because I used to get so tired. I used to go to Rob still about 1-2 o'clock in the morning after being at work all day.
Mm.
And Rob written this lovely little ditty, and just he had this flat microphone to the floor.
Yeah. A PZM or something.
PZM, yeah. And I was so tired, I was actually leaning over it, just literally on like in a baby kind of all fours kind of way, and just come up with the stand-up lyrics and the melody.
Ooh.
But the voice was doing a particular thing because I was so tired, and it sounded really good. And we just could not get that again for weeks. I think months. I was like, what did I do? But
Hey, down and see if you could get it, doing it that way.
Yeah, we're all different angles. We're
even in the toilet.
Yeah, toilet. If in doubt, go to the loo.
Yeah.
But that was... Actually, what about Rob? What's your favourite track?
Still the Same.
Still the Same? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Different.
But it changes every week.
Yeah, mine does as well. Mine's Hands, I think. Hands or Stand Up.
Mm.
But Breathe is really nice.
It depends on the mood, you know. Sometimes I just love Fallen Angels, just hits it hard, and good rock tune, and just
Politician, another one.
Yeah,
I like.
That's really nice.
Yeah, that
well, the way I look at music, the way, you know, what I pick to listen to at whatever time I'm going to listen to it is whatever mood I'm in. So that's probably why, you know, some of them are your favorite one week and then another one, you know, the following week, because you're in a different mood.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think that's true. And also when you haven't heard it for a while as well, because we have played and rewritten and all that. So What can I ask? What sort of bands you listen to?
Well, I listen to pretty much anything, but I'm a rocker at heart. So, you know, Bon Jovi's right up there in the number ones with me. And a lot of the 70s music and 80s music, the big hair band, you know, guys, I love those. And pop music. But rock is my heart. That's just it. I grew up with that. That's what stuck with me. And that's my base to work around to what I'm going to listen to next.
Wow.
Any favorite acts that you've seen live that, you know, really blew you away?
Oh, my gosh. I've seen so many bands. Well, Bon Jovi, of course, because I love them so much. And their fans are just so into them, and they know all the lyrics to all the songs, and, you know, they really get them going. And then from back in the day, I have to say, like, Blue Oyster Cult was a phenomenal show. They did a lot of laser and stuff like that in it. And Journey. Oh, my God, Journey with Steve Perry. Nobody else, just Steve Perry, okay, mind you.
Yeah, that is amazing as well. Isn't he? Filipino, awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, the other guys that have replaced him, they've been good too, but there's nobody like Steve Perry.
I'll agree with you there, definitely.
That's true. Do you know Peter has opened the door to Bon Jovi before? To John Bon Jovi and to Richie Sambora?
Oh, yeah.
Opened the door?
Yep.
Well, we were in the same bar, and I, you know, instead of saying nice to meet you, I just thought I'd open the door, because I was like, hi guys. You know, I got stuck for words. Yeah.
We'd just been to see Bruce Springsteen at Hyde Park, and we were walking back, we were all buzzing. Actually, I bumped into you, didn't I?
Yeah.
I bumped, out of all the people, like, how many people in Hyde Park? 10,000 people?
Yeah.
So I knew Pete was there, but there was no signal and I didn't know where he was standing. And the gig had finished. He was with his friend. And we were walking back out of Hyde Park and all of a sudden I was walking alongside you.
Yeah,
of all those people. I was like, oh, there you are.
And I needed to go to the toilet, didn't I? I thought, I'll go to the toilet.
Exactly. The toilet comes in here. Oh, my God.
It's a really nice hotel called Claridge's. And then I met the guitarist from the Bruce Springsteen band, from the E Street band. And we were just... chatting in the toilet, as you did, and then I called Paul from outside, like, get in here, man. There's a real good party going on. Yeah, and then
it was Steve Van Zandt, and then there was Max Weinberg, the drummer, as well. And we were chatting to them.
That's it. And Brucey walked in, and
the bodyguard pushed me out of the way.
Clarence, the big man, was right next to him as well. And we're like, wow, cool. And then Bon Jovi walked in, and we're thinking, this is going to be a really good party. We want to go to this, but... we got to hold the door open while they went and pied.
After all that. Well, you know, I went to a concert one time, and it was with two of my friends, and it was a very, very small venue, and Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons were playing. And so after the concert was over, we stuck around, and we talked to the roadies that were there. And then they invited us to come back to the party, the private party. So we partied with them, but then we left there and we went to a bar, and who walks in but Cheap Trick? So that was a good night.
Wow. What a night. It's brilliant.
Yeah, that was. It was a great night. And they gave us tickets to come back the next day, so it was even better.
Oh. That is some stuff.
It's a lot of fun when you get to meet people that you love and adore their music and that you're a huge fan of, but it is hard to speak with them because you're at a loss of words. You have so much you want to say, but nothing's coming out except for,
I met Keith Urban when we were recording, and he was at the Metropolis Studios, and Nicole Kidman as well. And I was at the bottom of this stairwell, and they were at the top. They were just looking to come down, and I was looking to go up. And anyway, Keith was like, he waved me up, and so I went up to the top. And he's really nice. He's really nice. He was just like, how you doing? You know, what are you doing? And we just had a chat, and then we talked about what he was doing. He was in the studio next to me that we were in. We were just mixing at the time. And yeah, he was a very nice guy.
When it's a work thing, it's easier to chat because everyone's just normal. But when it's Black Eyed Peas were there as well.
Oh yeah. I mean,
we're just talking music. But
yeah.
When it's outside, I guess everyone's got a different persona, and it's, you know, everyone's surrounded by their fans. And
Right. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So I think I need to hang out with you guys because you've met quite a few people.
we've had some luck.
Yeah.
Some real luck. So yeah.
Yeah, well, also with Breathe, you gave the CD that I guess there was two other songs on there to Alanis Morissette's mom and aunt, to Dwayne the Rock Johnson, Russell Brand. I mean, come on. You guys are getting around.
Yeah, Russell Brand's quite funny because I was in I was at the airport and I was flying over to LA, and Russell Brand, I didn't realise he was standing behind me, and I was on the phone to a friend of mine who was a big fan of Russell Brand's, and they had a toothache and they'd just been to the dentist and they were in absolute agony, and upset on the phone going, oh, I don't know what to do myself, I'm in so much pain, and turned around and there was Russell Brand standing behind me. So I just said to him, Russell, I said, sorry to interrupt you, because he was with someone else. I said, my friends just had their tooth out. Would you mind cheering them up? And he said, absolutely, no problem. Took the phone and started this huge scenario that he was making up on the spot, really funny. And talked to him. And then afterwards, he'd come and join me and sat by the security thing. And we just had a chat and yeah, he was really nice. Gave him a CD. He said, wish you luck. And he was, went his separate way. But yeah, nice guy, I see.
Well, yeah, Lakem.
The time, yeah.
I think even The Rock, you know, he came, you saw him, you gave him the CD. The next day he was playing it in his truck, right?
Yeah. The Rock was following me around the gym in,
lifting Paul up.
He was trying to see my secret skills of why I was in such great shape.
Yeah.
I put him everything, you know. He was in a gym in Canada, Vancouver, and I think it was only us two that were on this floor, and he started working out next to me, and I was completely stuck for words because he's massive, and I just didn't know what to say, and I thought, God, you've got to speak to him, and I was like, no, I was walk away because he was holding weights that were bigger than me, in each arm. And so I walked away and I went on another section, and then he came over to that bit and he was working on that. So I thought, oh, you know what, I'm just going to say. And I think the first thing I said to him was, my friend's a really massive fan of yours.
Yeah, that's me.
And it was Pete's a huge fan of The Rock, especially from the wrestling, World Wrestling Federation days. And I think, what's that film we've done? Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah, that was great. So much fun.
Welcome to the Jungle, we're big fans of. So I said that. And he was like, oh, that's really cool. Thank you very much. And he was like, what are you doing over here? So I told him that, you know, I was trying to push the music and do some stuff. And he said, oh, okay. He said, well, you know, good luck with that. And I said, can I give you a CD? And he said, yeah, sure, no problem. And so I rushed down to the locker room, got him a CD. And the next day I came in and he was just coming down the stairs from the top of the gym, and it was packed, and he shouted out, he said, hey, Richmond. And I looked up and he said, I've got your CD in my truck. He was like, brilliant, absolutely brilliant, love it. With Fallen Angels. He said, I've got Fallen Angels.
Wow.
So that was a really nice feeling.
But,
Wow. That's amazing. I mean, you know, because you hand these things out and you never know who's going to listen to them and who isn't. And you always wonder what they think about it. So at least you got one response, you know, from somebody that you admire.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he was again, really nice guy. Really nice guy. Very humble.
And how did you give the CD to Alanis Morissette's mom and aunt? How did you meet them?
That was in Canada. It was Vancouver. Yeah, it was really bizarre. I was, can I say that secret? Can I mention the book, The Secret?
Sure.
Yeah. So I'd read it a few months before, and I was over in Canada, and I was on my own, and I was just trying to do a bit of punting with the music and stuff, and Alanis Morissette, I'm a big fan of, and she was performing at one of their local theatres. And I thought, I'll get two tickets. And I was like, right, I'm going to really treat myself. I'm going to get two front row tickets. And somehow I'm going to meet someone that's going to help me get somewhere or do something. And anyway, I bought it a week before the concert, and all week I thought, well, I'll meet someone. This ticket will go to someone. Something will happen in the universe to make it happen. Anyway, nothing happened at all for the whole week. So I got to the night of the concert, and I was standing outside with these two tickets, and like one of the quite, they cost me quite a bit, and I was thinking, well, I've got to get sell one of them in this this great big like tout. I do call them touts over there.
Touts.
Touts.
Ticket touts.
Ticket touts who come up and buy and sell tickets outside venues.
They're just ticket vendors.
Oh, ticket vendors, yeah. Well, he came up to me. He was massive, and he was like, "What have you got?" And he was really aggressive. And I said to him, I've got nothing. I've got nothing for you. And he was being all aggressive. Anyway, there was a woman standing outside the venue. And I said to her, are you looking for a ticket? She said, yeah, but I don't really have any money on me. I was actually supposed to be on a flight, but the flight got cancelled. And I've just shot back to see if they've got any tickets, but it's sold out. So I said, look, fine. I said, you can have this. And I gave the ticket to her, and she said, oh, thank you so much. She said, yeah. She goes, I was dying to see my niece. When I found out my flight was cancelled, she goes, I thought I was going to miss the gig. I was like, your niece? And she said, yeah, Alanis Morissette's my niece. And so I thought, I'm not sure I quite believe that, but okay. And we got inside and we're at the front, and then she called this woman over who ran over from, it was in the front row, and it was Alanis Morissette's mum. And yeah, she introduced me, and I said, oh, wow. I said, any chance you can give a CD to Alanis Morissette? and she said, yeah, of course, no problem. So, yeah, I'm still friends with the late, her aunt now on Facebook. She's really really nice lady, Michelle Briggs. But yeah, she took the CD and gave it to her, but I never heard anything back. So, I guess still probably in the same theater.
But of all people to meet, because, you know, so many people go to that concert, and of all people to meet outside, you happen to meet the aunt. So that was fate. Somehow, some way, that'll work out for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, you guys also supported the Grateful Dead.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know that they are huge, and there's deadheads all over the world. So how in the world did you guys end up doing that? I mean, that has got to be one of the most exciting things for you guys.
You know what? We're going to be honest about this. We was, you know, completely overruled by it when we got there. And we didn't realize how super people it was, which just we only realized that after. And that made us even more nervous once the gig was over. So well, and you know, it was an intimate gig because it wasn't big. It was like a warm up to their like tour kicking off, and their fans, oh my god, they're amazing. You know that they you know, sometimes you play a gig like this, and people just wait for them, but they all stayed for us as well. We're like, wow. You know, and
they're really nice. And considering that music isn't really anywhere near as I'd say as good as. I mean, it's a different style,
style.
We didn't look like we belonged there, to be honest.
Right.
We were in Santa Monica, and we were busking and handing out CDs and just talking to people. And a guy had got a CD and listened to it, and then come back and listened to us and said, "Guys, do you want to just do a half an hour show because we need someone to come warm up?" And we were like, yeah, sure, okay, no problem. And we didn't know it was them until we actually got there.
Yeah.
And then we were like, oh, my God, what's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
And it was, they were really cool. They took photos for us and everything. They were nice guys, yeah.
We played an amazing gig that night. We were just, I don't know, that their crowd just took us somewhere. I don't know what it was really special.
Yeah.
And we just talked about that for years.
I think we looked a bit like rabbits caught in the headlights.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They could have thrown stuff at us, I'm sure, but they
turned up for that sound system for us,
they were like, yeah. They were really, really cool. Really cool.
Did you get to sit down with the guys in the band at all and have a chat with them?
Well, we were not afterwards, but we spoke to them beforehand, and they came up to us and they said, "Cole, I really like your stuff.
Yeah.
Great, you know, well done. Looking forward to your show." And it was like, "What? You're looking forward to our show?" But we literally just It was just, we were just doing it acoustic, and we just, you know, just as the warm up, and it was a small venue, as I say. It was just for them to, I get us guys, let's get tuned in and connect with the crowd.
The night before, I think we played the Whiskey.
Yeah, played. Do you know the Whiskey in LA?
Yeah.
We played there the night before.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was really good, actually. That was a rush because we
just got off the plane, I think.
Yeah, we just got off the plane. We went straight to the venue, and it was packed, absolutely packed. And we went upstairs, got changed, and we were headlining. But...
Can I just stop you? Yeah, when we get changed, Paul always wanted to put on his lucky pants. Every gig, pair of lucky pants.
They've got to be fresh.
Yeah.
Fresh pants and socks.
Sometimes if you get them, they put
ketchup in them. They like to ruin them for me.
We ran up, got changed, and thank God we went with the flow, and we rocked that gig.
But most people were trying to leave, actually, as we were starting, because they were supporting a college band that were there, and they really had a good group of supporters, and we... And then literally, and when they finished, they all went off to party. So the place went from packed to kind of, it was emptying out really fast.
But we started playing, and they started coming back in.
Yeah.
So we had like CDs.
Oh my gosh, that's excellent.
And that's
yeah. We ran downstairs and we said, please don't leave yet. I must admit, we did. Please don't. Give us one song. One song. Yeah. And if you still don't like us, go. So we managed to keep a few back. And we got rid of all their CDs that night, didn't we?
You charmed a few people then.
Yeah, that was funny.
Well, what you guys were nominated for the LA Awards for Best International Performers, is that what brought you over to the US?
Yes, and also we love the US as well.
Yeah.
So to be honest, we'd love to really base ourselves between there, here. And Canada. That feels like home for some reason.
I just got back from the US from my honeymoon 2 days ago, and it was amazing. So, you know, it's a place that I think.
Yes, congratulations again, Pete, on your marriage.
Thank you. Chrissy's at home listening. Hey, honey.
Hi, Chrissy.
Yes, Craig, congratulations to your wife as well.
Can I just say hello to my wife as well? Because otherwise, I'm going to get in trouble. Hello,
of course.
She's sitting here with us.
Yeah. Oh. probably kicking you in the shins. Hey, what am I?
Yeah, exactly. What was the question? I've completely off the train of thought.
We were saying about the US and we do feel
about
like,
the LA Music Award nomination and that.
That was great. That was really nice. That was great.
I think the album's come together and it's got some big tracks on there, and especially you're gonna play Fallen Angels. It just, when you hear it, you hear why we want to be in America, I think. And
it's a big anthem song.
Yeah, and I guess that's the music we listened to growing up.
Yeah.
Bruce Lee, Bon Jovi, and Pearl Jam, and all these kind of bands, and I guess that's what we're writing.
Yeah.
In that fashion. So.
I mean, friends of ours who have a similar music, they have positioned themselves and located other parts of the world, really, and have got successful. A band called Livingston, excellent, and friends of ours, they're based in Germany. And they're really good, but similar vibe. It's a lot more difficult over here with this type of music. For some reason, we're quite orchestrated by the Mr. Cowles of the world with what gets played and what's going to be mainstream.
The X Factor just rules, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's hard. It's hard for any band these days to get on mainstream radio unless you know somebody. Or signed with a record label, that's huge. But then again, in these days, because people like myself can play your music without having to go through a label, it makes it easier for you guys to get your music out there, too. I have listeners from all around the world, and that way you get it out, especially, too, with social media. You know, you get your music out there with a lot of people that you wouldn't have normally gotten back in the day when social media didn't exist.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, so they have
isn't it?
Yeah, they have less control in that sense. But again, the market's flooded so much with different avenues
of music, isn't it?
Of getting out
it's
there.
Music overload, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's, love it.
But she's
love
good.
It. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm going to play Fallen Angels when I let you go, but right now I'd like to go ahead and play Needle and have you tell us more about that song because I know it's a very important song.
Well, Peter and I good. We're in school together, and we had a friend Robert Nash, and he got involved with a bit of a difficult and bad crowd basically, and started experimenting with different things.
And he passed away very young basically, and I think it influenced the whole school and me and Paul.
Yeah,
and
it means a lot, this song, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's where Needle came from, the song.
Yeah.
You wrote the lyrics and just had it all there, and we just kind of we all put that together, and it was part of the healing process. That song.
Yeah,
I think. And,
Yeah. People have different ways of dealing with it, and that's one good way of doing it for you guys, because of course you're into music, so that would be a good way of getting that out there. Let me go ahead and play it, and then we'll talk more about it.
Okay. Thank you.
Something inside falling, it's dragging my heartbeat. There's gotta be an angel looking out for me to show me our direction where someday we will be. We will be. The milk has all turned sour, but so have I inside. And everywhere I'm turning, so black and white. I need to have some color, so that these blue eyes see that though I may be falling, we can still believe.
Bye.
I have to tell you that of the three songs, why are you guys laughing?
I don't know what happened there.
Why? What did you? Did it go out on you?
No, Pam, that's not Needle.
That's a great song. Another song called Answers.
But thank you very much for playing that one.
Which one is that one?
That's called Answers.
Well, first, that's the song that I got, though, to play, and I thought that's what it was.
Oh, it's Mel, is she listening? We're coming around now.
Yeah.
Bad girl. That's Answers. But thank you for playing that. But no,
wow.
That doesn't.
I totally apologize, but that's the song that came. Well, I don't know what happened there, so I apologize. And I will definitely play it on another show once I get the MP3 for it.
Yeah, no problem at all. But that was one of the songs we weren't sure we were going to put on the album or not, because we really love it. It's it's a slower one. We've got a few slow ones on there, but actually listening to it, I want it.
Good, I like that.
I enjoyed that.
Did you like that, Pam?
Well, I vote for that song, even though it's not the right one I played. I vote for the song that I just played to be on the album because it's absolutely beautiful. Your voice radiates such emotion in that song, and I absolutely love it.
Thank you. I wasn't sure you knew that song because I know there's a naughty word in there, and I thought, oh, no.
Put it out. It's okay. I can play naughty words on the song, on the show. Since it's an internet station, you can pretty much say anything and play anything. So we're all good there. So, oh, wow. I just can't believe that I did not play the right song, but that's the song I got. Something got mixed up somewhere.
No, but I think you just completed our album, so that was it.
You know, same to you. Get on the album.
Yeah, thank you, Pam. And thank you, Mel, as well.
Is Needle going to be released as a single, or will that be on the album as well?
We'll let you know. We're not sure yet. Needle was penned actually for a sort of a semi-private release. Off away from the album, but we've had the few people that we've played it to have really given us a good response, haven't they? So we're still mastering a few other bits and mixing a few things. So when we sit down and listen to the whole thing, then we'll really make our minds up. But that one's called Answers. Are you referring to that as Needle, or did you mean Answers?
As far as putting it on the album?
Yeah.
Well, yes, I think Answers should be on the album. And when I hear Needle, maybe I'll tell you if that should be on there. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes that happens. You know, I'll get a song sent to me, and unfortunately, you know, however it was sent to me, they accidentally choose the wrong one, or I can't even explain it. Really, hardly anybody ever knows what happens, but it's happened to me once or twice before where I'll play a song and they're like, that's not the song. Well, then what song was that? So I apologize. That's all I can do, and I'll play it for sure on my next Monday show if you guys still want me to.
That'll be fantastic. That'll be really great if you could. That'd be nice. Would we be able to speak to you again?
Definitely. You guys are welcome back anytime. If you'd like to call in Monday while I'm doing the show and going to play that song, you're more than welcome to call in.
Oh, that's lovely. It's been really nice talking to you. I just wanted to say a big shout to a couple of people. Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'll say obviously hello to my mum. To my sister, to my nephew Thomas, who's in the band as well. He's brilliant, Santa Fe Samplers.
Yeah.
And to a good friend of mine, loads of friends of mine, Mike, Darren and Sonia over in Spain, Mike and Naomi, so we just want to say hi, and Christian and Sarah, his daughter, over in Munich.
I'd like to say a big thanks to Robert Plant and Rod Stewart.
Sorry, and The Rock, and Arnis.
Keith.
Yeah,
love the new album.
Yeah.
Don't forget Keith's wife.
Nicole. Sorry about that. I get all out. and obviously John and Bruce.
Yeah.
But it's been lovely talking to you. Is it?
Yes, thank you so much for joining me today, guys. And for our listeners, be sure to follow them on Twitter at Richmond_band and their Facebook at facebook.com/Richmond Band. Are you guys getting a website anytime soon?
Yes, we are. Yeah, we'll launch that. We're working on a few things at the moment. So we're just putting the final touches, but in the next probably in the next 2 or 3 weeks, that'll be up and running with lots of things on there. So we'll let you know the address, and if that's okay, we'll give that for you too. Maybe you can announce it when it's all finished.
Oh, definitely, because I like to share that with all the listeners. That way, they know how to find you guys, and of course, your music. So we look forward to your album Fallen Angels in 2016, and keep the music coming, guys, because I absolutely love it.
Thank you very much. Pam, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You guys enjoy the rest of your evening, and I'm going to go ahead and play Fallen Angels for our listeners.
Yeah.
Lovely. Take care.
Bye. See you later, Pam.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cloud on an angry crowd, soaked in tears.
And that was Fallen Angels by Richmond Band. I absolutely enjoyed talking with the guys. It was a lot of fun, and they have some great stories to share with us, as well as some awesome music. Don't forget to look for Fallen Angels, the album, out sometime next year, and we'll update you that with that information when we get it. One of the listeners, and her name is Debbie Prowl, absolutely loves Breathe, so I'm going to go ahead and end the show with that. But join me again next week, Monday, at 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another hour of indie music from around the world. And don't forget to follow the guys on Twitter at Richmond_band, it's RICHMOND, and like their Facebook page at facebook.com/richmondband. So go ahead, I'm going to go ahead and play Breathe, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Back now, we believe that we're such heroes as we both turn out the lights. When inside we feel like crying, but instead we choose to fight. I can't breathe. Oh, baby, can't you see? There's nothing left for me. Questions, you're just giving me no truth, and I can't believe in what you're saying, cause it feels in me and you. I can't breathe, there's nothing left for me, baby, can't you see, and I can't breathe. I try, but you know that
your favorite band, indie band, that helps bring money into them so they can make more music for us. So that's always a good thing. So buy it whenever it's available, and Breathe is available. So thanks again, everybody, for tuning in, and I'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.
Get connected with Take Two Radio Music on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio Music, or for email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit take2radiomusic.com.